And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard here on Declare, your Independence Henniker in New Hampshire, where we're going to be for at least probably another week while we're getting the little bus all painted and so on. Davi sent me some, you know, different artwork, and then we got to go over this afternoon after I take the bus in. Then we got to sit down, and they're going, hey, what color do you want it? I go, I don't know yet. Just start prepping it and taping it up. I'll let you know in a couple hours. So we're down to the wire, you know. Well, there's a lot of people wanted to have some input and everything, and it's fine. I just can't wait. You know, I just got to pull the trigger. I could have had this done, you know, 2 months ago, but, you know, people want to play. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and pull the trigger on the – we kind of got a base idea, the design. It's just like, what base colors do you want? And I kind of wanted a southwestern-y kind of look. And everything. Anyway, we're just going to do it. Get her done. And it starts today. Well, then we're going to be here a farming. While that's, if I don't have the bus here to work on, you know, a lot of the stuff, we need to get it up to Derek's in Maine. And then from there, we'll go to Pork Fest. But it has to have at least a week for the paint to cure before we decal it. You know, start putting graphics and stuff on it. So we're going to be doing that, get it all ordered, get it done. That's what we're doing the design for, get them all printed and ready to go, which we've done before. You'll see a lot of the pictures. You'll see the different trailers and, you know, vehicles and everything. They have our artwork on it and so on. So we know how to put it on. It'd be a lot easier if we have it pre-painted and put it on, but it's got to be cured. And then a good week of in the sun. And then we'll put those on at Pork Fest. So Pork Fest, Fork Fest, we're going to be putting the stuff on. That'll be an event in itself. It will be born at Pork Fest and Fork Fest. So that'll be awesome. We'll have some fun with it. So it's always silver linings, silver linings. Now, the Jay just came back in. He's out, you know, farming, doing whatever the heck he had to do. And then Melody's going to hang out for a little. Did you call him, Donna? Yes. Hey, y'all good? Yes. All right, we're going to bring it. Then I was calling the paint shop and say, all right, make a space. I got to bring it in. So we're going to do that. And then we got to get a small version of everything. Well, the prepping of the soil up here, I mean, you've got forest everywhere. You know, it's trees. But tree leaves and so on, it goes in and it kind of replenishes the soil for the tree. So there's not really this big, dark, black, you know, fertile earth like you get in Kentucky or a lot of other places, Virginia or something like that up here. And I'm familiar with this kind of soil because it's very much the same in northern Arizona. You know, this is a lot. Jackalope. You know what I'm talking about, Jay. That soil, that sandy soil kind of, it's not a lot different than here.
I mean, right now it's like jackalope in August up there in the rim at Boca Meadows.
Boca Meadows. Yeah.
I thought it was very similar.
It's just like this.
Right. I thought when I was going to go to Arizona in August for a Freedom Festival and I had no air conditioning in my slide-in pickup truck camper, I was going to be in trouble. And you're like, nah, it's like you might need a sweatshirt at night, maybe even during the day. And there was plenty of people walking around during the day with a sweatshirt at Jackalope in August.
Yeah, but no, you're up in the mountains.
What, 8,600-foot elevation, yeah, and it's in the forest, and it's beautiful. But anyways, yeah, this is very similar, except for my trees are bigger. You know, I got trees you can't put, two guys can't hold hands wrapping themselves around them, you know.
Some big trees, but you do, and that's how you heat yourself.
Yep.
And one thing that's creative that Jay does is he's always working a deal with somebody for a deal. He's got a deal, and a lot of it, they clear a lot of trees and they got to get rid of them. They got to put them somewhere.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, I know where you can put them. So he has all these automated devices for splitting logs. You got chainsaw cuts them. Then you got this machine you build of a hydraulic, of a pneumatic, of whatever ick that, you know, Jay does of everything. And, oh, I know that belt-driven water wheel device at the back and where he make it work.
Yep.
You know, and then just this last year, he got his first plasma cutter.
Yep, that's right.
He's like, ooh, I'd be like to do my plasma cut. One of the things, I don't know if you got pictures of it, we've been working on is this big screening of the soil knockout boulder. It's, you know, enormous beams, and you're not moving that thing. You know, I tried, I couldn't get by between the door and that.
Yep.
I tried to slide it or move it. I'm like, not a chance in hell. That thing is tons.
It's got to be like 1,500 pounds right now, 1,000 pounds, I think, just the frame that we got
going.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
Nope.
So I'm like, all right, maybe if I really, I go, Melody ain't moving it.
It's a. It's basically a scalper is what they call it, a gravel scalper in the gravel industry.
Yeah.
Is essentially what I'm building, not a power screener, but like what you say on Gold Rush when they're sorting all the rocks and sand. And
the grizzlies.
The grizzlies. But, yeah, so the soil here is it's poor because it's just been, you know, pine trees and oak trees and maple trees just putting leaves down. And so there's literally like an inch and a half, 2 inches of topsoil around here when I started. So I took a lot of it and I pushed it up in piles. You see where I got some stuff parked out back and I got these big piles of dirt. But the problem is right under this topsoil is clay. So it's like really hard clay. And then you dig down 2 feet and it's all sand. That's why I got these massive pine trees. You only see massive pine trees like this where there's a lot of sand. Because there is just as many roots under the ground as there is tree above the ground. And I believe that's true with pretty much all plants. And when you dig out some of these stumps, it's like, holy cow. But these roots just go for, I mean, some of these roots are 20, 30 foot long and they're like this when we're ripping them up out of the ground. You know, like
this?
8 inches.
Is that a radio measurement?
6-8 inches diameter, somebody's roots. And they're like, and they're coming up for 15, 20 feet. And then they finally break off somewhere because they go down so far, we can't rip them up anymore. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build Terra Preta. If Terra Preta is a region in the Amazon where the soil is extremely rich and dark, and the Amazonians did hundreds of years ago, maybe thousands of years ago, they did slash and burn. So they did what's called biochar. And what they would do is right before it was going to rain, they would start a major forest fire. And then the rain would take all that coal and cool it down before it burnt all the carbon out of the coal. And you're basically left over with ash, and which is beneficial to all the growing. And
you got charcoal.
And biochar, charcoal, and I'm still like, biochar and charcoal, I'm pretty sure they're really the same thing, but like...
If you let a... This is how you got a whole bunch of deforestation in Africa. A lot of these, you know, what they do is they'll take any vegetation, they start a fire, they get it hot, and they put all this wood in there, and it starts burning, and then they cover it with dirt.
Yep.
And it's like depriving it of oxygen.
Yeah, you deprive it of oxygen, and what happens is it gets, it turns to charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just black lumps of whatever, so it has all that energy still in it, but it's burned off a lot of the gases and so on or something.
Yep.
So then you take that, and that charcoal, the carbon, is conductive. It's like,
yep.
You know, it's like nanotubes or graphene, or it's very conductive. So when you watch the movie Avatar, and they're going, look, you know, all the trees and roots
right.
are communicating, and they're doing the mycelium network of the blah, 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 blah. That's what you're doing, is
yep.
you're creating not just the nutrients, because that's hugel mounds. Hugel mounds is like mycelium will break down the wood, and it's not just... You know, like sawdust. I mean, you need chunks of wood. You know, you need the wood that feeds on and it absorbs the water. And I mean, so none of that's happening in the sand. It's very, you know, thin.
Clay will hardly let go of water for plants.
I'm sorry?
Clay will hardly let go of water for plants.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, so this is, you know, the topsoil is like nothing here. So you have to feed it. Well, the best way that, you know, anybody that knows anything about anything, you talk to Bob all the time, it's like, let me tell you what you do. You get a bunch of pigs.
Yep.
Pigs will do it and clear the rocks.
Okay.
You know, we're going to talk about the pigs and what he did. And when I was out there doing all this tractoring, I had to scrape off all his good stuff and then put it on top later.
Do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Now with AnyPay, you earn passive income for every purchase at those businesses. Finally, a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You made it happen, so you get the rewards. Download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. Then install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at AnyPayInc.com. AnyPayInc.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And this is where we have rejoining music from Jay Noon's brother. That will try for the next break. He just gave me the disc. He goes, yeah, you should play that. You know, it's like you're like Frank, you know, 30 seconds before. Hey, I need you to bring up the movie clip of the guy. You know, you guys are killing me. I'm sorry?
I gave you the disc yesterday or the day before. I just, when I was walking out of the
bus, I'm sorry. I didn't have it all set up for you. I'm so sorry. We have the Trump report in the next hour. You know, Dr. Frank's going to come on. That's always a hoot. And there's so much news, and I'm just so don't care. I watch all this stuff. Oh, this is how the world's going. Now, when has it ever not been doing? I mean, it's always like this. Be afeard. Be afeard. Look. Pay attention to what we think is important if you're not. Yeah, whatever. I go, it's all manipulation. I can feel the manipulation. And what's important is food. This thing always comes down to food. And Jay saw this early on, and he just goes, yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'd be literally a horse trader. He hauls hay. He knows all the livestock guys. He knows the auction houses. He knows kind of, and I bet you there's some cheap pigs and cows and gimme. Well, when he, you know, sees a Craigslist, you know, says, you know,
Butcher's dilemma.
I got 4,000 hogs or I got to put in a ditch. You know, who wants them? Me. Nope, not allowed.
Tyson said the farmer couldn't do it. And
I want to know that. I mean, that's a whole story
So his lawyer told him anti-competition clause in the contract that he has. And also they have like casualty insurance for like market losses and things like this. And the insurance company said, we will pay you to euthanize them, but we will not pay you to give them away or sell them or whatever. And the hogs belong to Tyson. This is the agenda. And here's the other thing. What I didn't say yesterday, so I called the New Holland Sales Stable, which, you know, my entire life up until literally like 8 years ago, I was there almost every week buying horses, selling horses, whatever. And I know all the guys down there, and I call the guy, and he's the manager. He's actually a libertarian. He ran for state representative in Pennsylvania down there. Mike McDermott's his name, and he's involved with the Libertarian Party. So when I called him, I says, hey, what's going on with the hog situation? You know, this was, a day or two after we realized we couldn't buy the hogs from the guy who was doing the, you know, the deal right there with the Tyson pigs, because it was down in Pennsylvania also. I said, I'll just go to New Holland and buy them. He goes, oh, last week we had 9 market hogs. So what? I go, 9 market hogs.
As opposed to what's normal?
3,200, 2,200, 1,800. Like the year before, I forget the number exactly, but they only had 9 market hogs. They only had, and on a USDA report, it said the prices was the same. I go, who bought them? He goes, I did.
Just to keep the price up
something? Well, because there was no buyers. And somebody just brought in, some Amish guy didn't know what's going on, brought some market hogs, basically, because you know, the Amish guys aren't on Facebook. And that's right in the middle of Amish country. So at New Holland Sales Stables, they have 4 auction barns. They have a horse stable, a horse auction.
Okay, New Haven is where? What are you
New
talking
Holland.
About?
New Holland, Pennsylvania. It's Lancaster County.
Which is what, western?
No, Eastern? Southeastern. It's like 100, it's less than 100 miles from like you know, New York City. It's you know, New Jersey's right there. It's basically like kind of southwest.
So it's one
of
the big hubs of feeding.
It's the largest livestock market this side of the Mississippi.
Okay, so it's feeding New England.
it's feeding mom and pop butcher shop New England, like all the mom and pop operations buy all kinds of stuff, like New Jersey. And there's so they got a goat auction. They got a goat and lamb barn. They got a hog barn. They got a cattle barn, and then they got a horse sale barn, all in this building. It's like several acres. You should just drive by there on your way home, like check out a Monday sale. It's really awesome. They got a big hay auction outside. I love the place. I learned a lot there. Anyways, so like Easter, right around Easter, all the stuff's happening. The 2 weeks before Easter, they'll usually have like 4,200 goats, you know, 2,800 sheep or lambs, and the numbers were all like literally like single digit percentage of what was coming through the auction, because what had happened is, oh, and they shut the horse auction down for whatever reason. Nobody was showing up, and then the other livestock auctions, a bunch of the guys that were, you know, just buyers weren't showing up and sellers weren't showing up. So the market report was
okay. Now why weren't, were they saying they had to be shut down? You're not allowed to drive there, shelter in place, you're not allowed to buy. Why was it shutting down?
So the guys at New Holland were basically like, we don't really care about this social distancing stuff. This is all nonsense. But what it was just a lot of people just weren't showing up. Another friend of mine owns a slaughterhouse in New York State, one of the biggest, you know, mom-and-pop slaughterhouse in New York. They do beef. They buy cutter cows, cutter, canner, cull cows, which are old dairy cows that don't produce milk anymore. And so they, he's in New Holland twice a week buying, and he couldn't even get his drivers to go down here because they didn't want to go through New York City. He delivers boneless meat to a kosher hot dog manufacturer in New York City, and the guy who owns the slaughterhouse has to drive his own meat there now. You know, he's got better stuff to do than deliver meat. He's got, they just weren't going to go to New York City. And they, and actually he's not bringing any, he's not bringing anything to New York City, Long Island, New Jersey. There's a place out in Ohio he used to ship to. He's not selling stuff there because his drivers won't even drive. He's selling some stuff to some other places, kind of local, and he's selling a ton of local meat where he is in New York. So he's like okay with selling his stuff, but he's having a tough time coming up with cattle because all the local dairy farms around here have been wiped out. He said, this guy told me his place is in Whitehall, New York. He said within a 100-mile circle in like 1970, there was something like, I don't know, 8,500 or 18,000. I can't remember. Insane amount of like dairies. Now there's like 200 within 100 miles of him because all the small dairies have been wiped out and everything's been centralized. And this is all because of regulation. You know, you have to pasteurize the milk before you sell it. Well, a guy who's got 50 cows can't pasteurize milk. He can't buy that equipment. So you have to sell it to the creamery. The creamery sets the price. And this is why New York is known for having a milk mafia. If you brought milk or dairy into New York City, you got your legs broke. You know, that was a popular thing back in the 80s, I guess. So anyways, New York's really terrible when it comes to any legislation. But New York has, what, 75 representatives and 23 million or 30 million population, to where like New Hampshire has 435 representatives and a 1.3 million population. So
yeah, every rep in New Hampshire represents what, like 3,000 people or something. They see you at the supermarket, they just beat the crap out of you.
Yep. So anyways, actually one of the guys that live here, as a side note, is running for state rep. He's a free stater. We're going to get him on the show, James.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyways, getting back to this food situation is, like I've been telling everybody, you know, get to know your local farmer, support your local farmer. Don't stop. If you can buy it from your neighbor, why are you buying it at the grocery store? That's an insult to your neighbor. That's the way I look at it.
Well, a lot of times it's the neighbor willing to even do it or knowing how to do it or thinking they can do it or something.
Well, that's the problem. The mindset is everybody's trained to be part of the centralized collaboration.
With a contract with Tyson.
Yeah.
You know, when we come back, we'll see what, to tell you what, you know, Jay did and how it benefited the soil. He wouldn't be growing nothing if it wasn't for the hogs.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we're back. Jay Noon and yeah, we were yakking. I was going to play your brother's thing. We got to get the audio rejoining. There's a lot of work to be done. Derek and I
always a lot.
Well,
of work.
You know, the thing was on the studio, we were having problems doing. Yeah, you know, I just couldn't do it. Heck with it, man. We're getting here, driving, and he had his bus running, trailer hooked up, family there. Then he comes in to work on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It took him less than an hour, and he got it all, you know, taken care of. It was a plug this in here, dummy.
He really wanted to stay a few more days, but they got that dog, Toki, that was he's got some seizure issues, and they have a specialist. And the only appointment they had was that, you know, Monday. They've been trying to get with this guy for a while, so they had to be home for the dog appointment Monday.
Well, Toki's cool. You know, I like Toki. He's a big dog. And I remember he had some hip problems. We were at Pork Fest, and Taryn Lupo, that massager gun thing, you know, did put it on. Boom, fixed him.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was like $500 thing, you know. And now they're like $79 you can get these things in. They're awesome. They save my butt.
So you need a license to do chiropractic to a horse. You need a veterinarian-type license.
Yeah.
So I have a chiropractor friend. I'm not going to say his name, but he works on horses all the time. But you can't pay him to work on the horse. But it's okay for him to go adjust a horse and not get paid. Just like it's okay for most people to raise a chicken, butcher it, and give it to their neighbor. But if you raise a chicken, butcher it, and you sell it to your neighbor, selling it's the crime, not giving
now,
it away.
No, this is hell. It's going to be given too. You know, that's next. All this stuff is. It's just everybody kind of looks at it and goes, "That's just not right." You know, there's something wrong. It's a plan.
Yes.
It is a plan. Jay is bypassing the plan. Well, one of the things is
my plan doesn't include their plan.
You know, this is one when you're doing campaigns, you know, and you're having a forum and you got, you know, the Democrat gets up and I'm going to rule you this way and better and you got to get all whatever and I rule you. And Republican gets up, oh, he's going to rule you wrong. I'm going to rule you better. You can pick me for ruling you. And then, you know, the Libertarian gets up and goes, you know, my plan is you get to have your own plan, you know, peace. And they go, well, it's no plan. You got to have it going. Wow, can you hear yourself?
Yeah.
You know, these people, they don't know the purpose of government is for you to have your own freaking plan. If it doesn't work, well, then you got a neighbor who maybe had a better plan. It's like, you know, if one philosophy doesn't work, everybody goes dead.
Oh,
you
speaking
know?
Of neighbors. So I have a problematic neighbor, and he come over here and he complained about the dog and kind of got into it a little bit with Derek the other day because Toki ran over there to say hi. And Toki's just friendly. He just wants to be buddies with everybody. So he starts flipping out, and he started talking about how I'm diminishing the value of his property.
I'll buy it.
And so I said, I have friends that want to buy your house. So he's got – it's like a decent size – well, it's a two-bedroom, you know, I don't know, 40-foot by 80-foot or 60-foot modular house built on a foundation, and it's 12.8-something acres, and it's for sale, and it shares the same driveway as me. So if anybody's interested in being my neighbor, he wants $250,000 for it is what he told me, which means, you know, I'm sure he's open. Something like that. And I'd like to, you know, kind of get rid of him. But even he's all right. He hunts. He's got guns. And every neighbor around here that's came over here after it because we do gun church. And, you know, I got like 50 guys down there shooting guns at the gun range. You haven't even been to the gun range since you've been here this time, have you?
Not yet.
So
I've been working, man.
Right. Yeah, it's like a 6-minute walk from where we are. So all my neighbors have kind of like strolled over here. They're like, yeah, I heard a lot of gunshots. And like they come in my driveway and they're looking around. And all of them have been like, I'm really glad you're here. I really like what I see. And so they come down.
I know where to come get stuff fixed.
Oh, well, and that's it. So basically, like, the only stuff I'm working on is you either have to be like libertarian-minded anarchist, preferably cryptocurrency, and a really good friend of mine. And all my neighbors, with the exception of one guy, have really become pretty decent, pretty good friends of mine. And there's even a guy across the street. I haven't met him yet. He's on 900 acres. And he's got a big old 50 cal up there just rattling off rounds every once in a while.
Just to explain it there, buddy.
I don't know. He's the only guy I haven't met because I think it's just like a weekend bug out place over there, but it's 900 acres or something. And but yeah, my neighbor's got some property for sale, and I'd like to a like-minded, you know, buddy to move in there, or friend, even somebody I don't even know, just maybe listening to the show.
Could it be a better place to move to?
Yeah, no, this is well, the thing that you get, well, I want, so you can understand the value of this, is one is Jay's got 5 billion projects, and every time I come up here, there's like, I don't know, a dozen half done whatever, and I go, nope, pick one. All right, we're finishing that.
Yep.
Then we're finishing that. Then we're finishing that, and we get some stuff finished, you know.
And he still helps take care of small things in the middle.
He's always taking care of, you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, what we'll
yes, yeah, sir.
Yeah, well, I can just turn her up a little bit. Okay, so what we'll do is I want you to tell, you know, you went on that rant. Now you got 2 minutes to tell them about the hogs replenishing the soil up there. What we, you know, I tried to save all your black dirt.
So what I did is, so it doesn't really smell bad like hogs around here. So basically, I don't know how many square foot area I had. Maybe, I don't know, an 80 by 100, roughly, we'll say that. I went and I bought 250-pound market hog. A market hog is a hog that's ready to go to slaughter. Because I had these
600 square feet for out there. Is that what you're
talking? Okay, so it was 6,000 square feet.
6,000 square feet.
6,000 square feet where I put 25 hogs, and I gave them a bunch of hay. We gave them finished them
hay.
Up on peanuts. Yep, they're lying about everything, Ernie. Hog, cow, pigs eat
hay.
They lie about everything. Remember they told us that pigs don't know how to eat hay. They eat hay just fine. Everything's
it was spoiled hay, but
so it's all mulch hay, but they love it. And they go nibble the little mushrooms out of it. Like if you throw in a chunk of like hay that's got like mushrooms growing out of it, they'll just nibble up those little mushrooms. They love the mushrooms in the hay. And so anyways, and they're pooping all over the place because they eat and poop. And we're feeding them yogurt. We're feeding them peanuts and some organic corn oatmeal. Some chocolate chips. Only a few of them like the chocolate chips, which
was
funny.
They don't really go some for them.
A lot of them.
So what was it? Why all? Is this just stuff you had laying around?
We get it for free.
Why was there?
We
grocery?
Didn't get the corn and oats for free. I don't know why it's for free. It's overruns. It's going to be spoiled. It's out of date. It's whatever. And
where did you get it?
I didn't. My buddy Neil got it at Bardo Farm. He just brings it over.
Yeah, he's been doing it. I went there like a decade ago.
Right, he's been at it for a long time.
And they're always at some supermarket or something throwing away. Give me pigs, like, thank you.
So it's important to activate biochar. So what I did is I had one of my barrels out there, one of my feeders for the hogs. I filled it up with biochar. And they're over there eating the biochar all the time. So they're eating the biochar. It's like eating charcoal when you go to Mexico and you get to Toristas, you know, and you're feeling a little sick. You go to the pharmacy and they just give you charcoal. And you just take it. And it absorbs whatever. Or if you alcohol poisoning. Charcoal is really good. I mean, people take charcoal baths. So the hogs are eating the charcoal, and then they're pooping it out. Now I got hot pig compost with activated biochar in it, and it doesn't stink because that biochar is like a buffer. It absorbs all the nutrients. Now, if you take unactivated biochar and you mix it all in your garden's not going to grow well the first year because the biochar is essentially absorbing the nutrients and kind of holding on to them. You can actually have like an oil spill. And put, like, biochar all around there and, like, just drive over it with the truck and stuff and then, like, rake it up, like, days later, throw it in a wood boiler, wood stove. And it sucks up all the biochar. I put the biochar sucks up all the oil. I put biochar in with the chickens. My brother puts it in with the horses.
Now, how you do it, he takes a bunch of wood, he puts it in a barrel, gets it lit, and then covers it. Or you put it in your boiler in a bucket.
So I've done it, like, 50 different ways.
And what's the best way?
The easiest thing for me is I got this 500,000 BTU wood boiler. It's 4'6" deep. It's 3 foot wide. I mean, you could literally stack like 8 bodies in there. It's huge. And we fill it up with wood, and then there's a bunch of hot coals. You know, hours later, we scoop up the hot coals, put them in metal 5-gallon buckets, and just fill them up with water. And then we got the biochar.
So you take all this black
and we feed
charcoal.
It to the pigs.
And you feed it to the pigs
first? They love it.
Or you just put it out on the field?
Both, but I'd rather feed it to the pigs because now I'm activating it.
Because to activate it otherwise, I remember you saying to pee on it.
Yeah, we'll put it in buckets
so
and pee in it. That's a good way to activate it.
On the four.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Melody, and Jay, and Donna, and, you know, me. Hello. All right, what we're talking about is, you know, just universal basic income. Are we taking it? Are we doing it? You know, I got, I don't know however much it was we got, and Donna just signed it and sent it to IRS. Here's your money back. You can put it on our account if you want, but I mean, here's your So I don't even know what happened. I don't even know if they credited it. Do you know if they credited it towards our account or not? I didn't even check. Yeah, whatever, don't care. But the
I don't think you should have an account with the IRS. That's the problem right there.
You know, the thing is that people that support us and so on, they write it off.
Yep.
You know, they do it, and then, you know, where did you give it? Well, they got it, you know, so it's really for them. I don't give a crap. You know, it's, you know, to make sure that these guys are legit and they're whatever. I don't care. But the biochar, we wanted to finish up on that.
Soil building.
You get – well, what I did – I remember Taryn Lupa that lives up here now, a chiropractor that's written – he's an author and he does a lot of farming stuff and everything. When he was in Savannah, Georgia, before he moved up here, he tried 6 inches thick of wood chips.
Yep.
And that's a big thing, wood chips. Well, I had irrigated 2-acre horse property kind of thing in Phoenix, you know, where we were. So we had, you know, chickens and we had goats and turkeys and, you know, and aquaponics and all this other stuff. So we had it going on. Well, Donna had like, I don't know, 60-something chickens. I mean, you know, so I miss those chickens. That's, you know, we're about out of the eggs, man. We're jonesing here.
Go grab any eggs you want from ours.
I think we will.
Also, the local store has got great goose eggs.
I don't know, man. I'm not getting exotic. I've had duck eggs, and they're not the same. But, you know, so anyway. So we took a lot of the trees that we get because, you know, we have irrigation. It floods. It's like 6 inches deep, my whole property, twice a month.
Oh, wow.
So I have 70-foot trees. Big, giant pine kick the crap out of this stuff.
Nice.
I mean, you know, it's enormous. But that creates a lot of, you know, biomass. So we got a chipper, and we started doing – and I had an area where I put the chips on there and just let them sit. And the next year, man, I got worms. I got, you know, like chickens going through it. I got black dirt.
I've heard of people building gardens on top of pavement with wood chips.
Yeah, just make soil.
Hay is what I had access to and definitely what Jay has tons of access to. And – in recent years, through reading and following different gardeners, hay is a huge thing. Ruth Stout is, yeah, she's, and
check
she's doing
out.
This back in like 60s, 70s.
Well, you know, we had good luck with that,
around.
You know, with our square foot gardening, because we used the straw, just straw, you know, to for the chickens. You know, we put it in, it's like every couple of weeks.
Too.
Yeah, then we take all that out and put another bale or two in there. And then we take that, and that's, you know, got chicken poop all in it and everything, and then we just, you know, till it in with the soil. So we're building great soil. So hay or straw, tell me the difference between the two and what, you know, it's used for.
So hay is essentially grasses or legumes, so like clover, alfalfa. Alfalfa is a legume. They have long roots. They can survive on little water. They can actually get drowned out if you give them too much water. So in southern Arizona, there was a farm that I had studied a little bit because we had used some similar equipment in Colorado, but they were cutting alfalfa 10 cuttings a year, and they were very close to the Mexican border, and it was all on this sugar sand, and the only time they didn't cut it was like in December and February to let it like regrow. But alfalfa loves heat. So alfalfa, grasses, whatever. Hay is a combination of edible grasses. So it's it's usually harvested and put into bales, and then that's fed as a dry or a wet. You can wrap it and ferment it. You know, the marshmallow bales, they call them, the bales that are wrapped up, to cows, horses, goats. And then straw is the byproduct of harvesting a grain. So you got wheat, oat, rye, you know, even like chia seeds, buckwheat.
Oh, that's
so,
the difference.
So
okay.
when the combine goes through and combines the wheat, it takes the seeds out, separates the seeds and all the chaff. So straw, like you take a piece of wheat straw and break it off nice, you can look right through it. It's like a straw. You could probably, you know, suck some water out of a cup with it.
There's no seeds in straw.
So there's
right?
no seeds in straw in what's called clean straw. So some guys don't like to use hay because there's seeds in the hay. Well, I really like the biodynamic farming. There's this place called Living Web Farm. If you Google Living Web Farm, they talk all about this biodynamic farming they do. They do basically a very similar Joe Salton type operation. And so these guys talk about building the soil. So they go into places like Mel was talking about where they take a parking lot, they take an acre parking lot, and they put, you know, I don't know, several hundred yards of wood chips on it, and then they put cover it all in hay and straw, and then they seed it with a cover crop, and then they grow all kinds of vegetables in there, and they got a massive garden. So Living Web Farms will tell you that, you know, and I think they're right, to grow everything. Everything grows. You shouldn't even pluck anything from the garden. Just let whatever grow, unless it's like a nasty weed, an invasive weed you don't want. Just pluck them. So we cover cropped all the gardens here. Everything's covered in hay. And then we did a cover crop of wheat, rye, and these pollinator flower wildflower mix.
Some of it's starting to blow in the compost around the plants right
now. And then we've got chipmunks eating all the wheat and rye seeds.
And the beets and carrots.
And
the radish and lettuce.
Yeah. So we got one cat's been killing about one chipmunk a day that we got here. So, like, you know, I need to do something good for that cat.
Well, like with Three Sisters, you're supposed to plant a seed, I think, like for the animals, for the earth.
Oh, okay. Well, the
animals
are getting theirs. I got a pelican. I haven't gotten a chipmunk yet. I got a rat, too.
I'm seeing a bunch of chipmunks, man. They're not even afraid of you.
No.
Whiz by you in my way, man, as they whiz around through your legs.
I carry a 9mm on my side, and I could have, you know, take a chipmunk out several times, but I'm always like, you know, 20 feet from the house, and I don't want to, you know, scare the baby or the wife, I don't have like earplugs in, so I don't want to ring my ears. But, anyways, I've been too busy to sight in the scope on the pellet gun. So by building the microbes in the soil is so important. The hay just keeps on breaking down. The hay keeps on breaking down. You go pull out, look at some of those round bales and just pull out some of the wet spots. It's like beautiful compost.
Yeah, no, I can see it's black.
It smells amazing.
The party we had the other day, one of my good friends, actually a girl who sewed up these pants for me. She's a Free Stater in Keene. She's a seamstress. She packed a bunch of grain bags with a whole bunch of like rotted hay for her little garden at home in the city. And she sent me a text message. She goes, "Hey, you want to sell some bags of this? I got friends that want to buy this hay compost stuff." And I ain't really got time to do that.
As I've been traveling across the country, you'll see to where it used to be bales of hay that were rectangles.
Correct.
You know, cube area. Now they have these big round bales that,
yep,
you know, weigh a billion pounds. And a lot of times they used to be, they were just open. Then they started having where they wrapped them and they kind of waterproofed them a little bit.
Well, they're not waterproof. And what they're doing is they're wrapping them and
like
fermenting them.
Yeah.
So the ideal is to bale that, what they call high moisture hay or haylage, or baleage, they'll call it. Baleage is when it's in a bale. Haylage, you put it into a bag or into a big silo or a pit. But they want to, basically 32% moisture is perfect for baleage. And then it ferments, so it's almost like cabbage. So this hay I got.
So wait. When they ferment it, that's better for the animal to eat?
Way better.
It's like decomposing. I thought
they were freaking out if it got wet and it would.
So for
make
yes,
it bad.
For dry hay, they freak out if
get
it gets
cable
wet.
On your mic.
You don't want the dry hay to get wet. But what they do is they wrap it and no oxygen gets in there, and it's a fermentation process. So now, like, these 4x4 bales, they're 4-foot by 4-foot bales that are dry, are like 400 to 500 pounds. The high moisture bales or the baleage, they're like 800 to 900 pounds, and the feed value is tremendous. It is much better, but you really can't feed it to horses unless you give the horses a botulism vaccine. the botulism vaccine, then you can feed it to horses. But cows, goats, pigs handle it really well. But cows do really good on high moisture baleage.
Really? I thought it was, you know, well, I guess it was for horses. They were saying don't feed them wet hay or something.
Right, yeah, you don't want to feed wet horses wet hay. They're pretty sensitive.
So another huge thing I want to say about using the hay for the garden is
we're going to hit the time limit here, but we'll go into on the streaming. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. On the left, you'll see the live stream there and then on the other live streaming places that we are. But the there's still a lot more to go, but we're going to have the Trump report. Trump report with Dr. Frank Danbury next hour. That'll be interesting, you know, all the stuff going on. But I'm sorry, go ahead and finish what you were saying.
I just wanted to say, so Ruth Stout says she does her gardens just, you know, piling hay. She never waters. And just being out in the Sierra Nevadas where it was really dry, just adding hay to our gardens reduced the amount of watering we needed to do, like, insanely. So that's
just to have the absorption. I was wondering, you know, they have the...
It retains,
you know, like,
it really well.
In diapers, you know, they, you know, takes that, whatever that is that sucks in the water, you know, you can have... I'm sure there's a natural version of that. I guess it's hay.
You can take, like, a soaked diaper and just twist it out like a rag, and it doesn't leak. I mean, you'll, like, squeeze your gel out of it.
So I'm wondering if that should... You should take diapers and... Empty them out, cut them open, put them in your garden.
I don't know.
Maybe not the gel. From the Freedom
Fiends. I've run web.
Okay, this is. We'll go a little bit longer here. You know. So I still want. Let me ask a bunch of questions. You know.
We're gonna keep going.
Yeah. You know, let me ask a bunch of questions. I see these bales of hay, you know, straw, whatever they are, all over, and they kind of look like, yeah, that season they didn't get that one. They put it off to the side. Of the
it's all damaged hay. That's why I got it for free.
Okay, why is it damaged? What makes it damaged?
So this hay came from an hour from here, and what they did is, my friend who got this hay, his brother died. It was all his hay, so they trucked it from one farm to another. Well, when they trucked it, they didn't have a bale squeeze to load it up with, and they used a forklift, and they kind of ripped each one a little bit. So he went around and taped them up. As soon as you rip a hole in it, it will. Now the hay starts to rot because oxygen's getting in there, in that plastic. And then what happened is a bunch of mice got into it and tore it all open. So this hay is now like 5 years old. He's just been laying around his farm, and he's built a new pasture. All his hay is stacked. So he's every time I go there, and I go there about once every 2 weeks, and I do a little equipment maintenance for him. The guy's a very good friend of mine. He was one of my him and my dad were horse trading buddies. They went to New Holland, Pennsylvania every week together. Not out west to buy horses for years. They're good friends. So I got my truck and my little trailer. I could put like 11 of these bales on, which is actually like about 11. I put two in the back of the truck and 9 on the trailer.
How many tons is that?
Like five tons. It's like 10,000 pounds. I weighed at the scale up here. The last load, it was like 9,800 pounds of hay.
Damn.
It's fine. So I had a 3/4 ton diesel pickup truck. It Dodge. It handles it. But anyways, so this hay, that's just how I'm going to build a soil hill. And the other thing we've been doing is making compost tea. You didn't go check out my compost tea barrels out there, did you?
Yeah, I've seen them out there.
They're just
two poly barrels, yep. And you got, you know, just whatever's in there, and it's just composting.
So it's inside of like a silt sock, basically a length of pantyhose, but it's the stuff that you wrap drainage pipe in. Take like 3-foot sections. We fill it up with this compost that was wood chips. Cow manure, chicken manure, and pig manure that came from Bardo Farm. I got like 2 yards of it last time I was up there. And actually, I might get another 2 yards when I go up there today.
Okay, now when you say yards, you're talking a cube square yard,
yep.
36 inches,
whatever. Something like that, yeah.
So it weighs, you know, it's like one of those big IBT totes or something.
Yeah, I think that's about a yard,
yeah,
actually.
That's a yard.
IBC
okay.
tote.
So using the manure, and it makes it really nitrogen rich, which we're nitrogen depleted here. For some plants, you wouldn't, and some soils, you wouldn't want to feed it maybe as much as we are here.
Right.
But
so the way we're making a compost tea is I got that compost, cow poop, chicken poop, all that stuff, aged compost, in these socks. Put it in a 55-gallon drum that's got a bulkhead fittings, which is I can screw a hose to it about 10 inches from the bottom, fill the 55-gallon drum with water, and then we put sugar in there. So just some table sugar. Like I put, like, I don't know, 4-pound bag or something in each one, which is more than enough. And then you just come back in an hour and, like, you see bubbles. It's bubbling, and it smells like beer brewing.
Is it yeast, or is it bacteria?
I don't know.
Or?
It's whatever's in the poop.
Oh, okay.
It's just kind of letting nature
smells
do its
like
thing.
Bacteria.
It does smell like a smells like brewery type beerish kind of whatever. So
poop mash.
We also got mushrooms growing everywhere.
Oh, we got everywhere. There's hay.
Like
there's just new mushrooms popping up every day. All just walk around here, and there's like mushrooms. So we're doing something right. Yeah. And so we take that compost tea and you bubble it. You run a little aerator. So we use a couple feet of that drip line. That you're like drip irrigation hose, and I haven't got that part set up yet. But what I've been cheating a little bit, I just been putting like a half ounce of food grade hydrogen peroxide in like 2 quarts of water, a half a gallon of water. Then I go just dump like half of that in each barrel, and it's so I'm oxygenating the water because we want that anaerobic bacteria. No, we want that aerobic bacteria. We want the oxygen and oxygen consuming bacteria to work, and it's building microbes. And then we take those microbes. And we just water side dress as fertilizer
the
plants that need it.
So that's what Melody's out there doing with a sprayer.
With that hose,
You're, you know, dripping on. Thought you were watering. I go, man, you need more
sometimes,
water than that.
Yeah, the sprinklers we have for the watering.
Okay, so you're feeding it.
Yep.
All right.
And the plants have been loving it. And I've been really impressed. Like when I first we started going, I was thinking, man, I don't know what's going to come out of the field back there, but everything's looking really good, actually.
Yeah, because we're covering it in hay and we're feeding it microbes.
All right, cool.
And
building
we got,
the soil is all
And we
it.
Got some regular, like, commercial chemical fertilizer here and a couple other fertilizers. And we're using
lime.
And we're using a little bit of that kind of jumpstart things. But, yeah, we're hopefully going to
Well, how much prepping are you going to do for that one field that I cleared that is going to be used for what? And you got to have a couple of months more of pig, you know, pooping or what?
We're going to add lime to it.
So we're going
to
lime it.
Do on the other.
We're going to lime it. We're going to either cover it. And we're going to cover parts of it in hay and then seed it. We're going to sow seeds directly into the dirt into another part and then cover it in more hay. And then we'll just keep on covering.
Seeds of what?
Corn, beans.
I want to do three sisters. That's kind of the biggest thing I have in mind for over there.
Okay, so for
bush beans,
three
also.
Different things.
What do you mean?
When you say
three
sisters,
it's
triple the. You know, you're only going to get a third to harvest, or.
Oh, that's is an aspect of it, but like what Jay was saying is it's the corn, the squash, and
beans.
They all support.
They
each other in
each
structure
other.
And in what they're giving and taking to the soil. So it should be
so
a
your
really
soil
productive way.
Like well, are you just going
to
plow it under or are you going
to
harvest
also.
Any of it?
Oh, we'll harvest everything. And then we're not and this. I won't rototill anything anymore after this season. Well, next season, this fall, I might rototill where the current garden is just to break it up and get more in there. But I want to establish that mycelium network, like what they talk about in, you know, like what the Avatar movie is about. Because that's like, that's true here.
It's total efficiency.
And the biggest thing with biochar for people to understand is biochar is a catalyst between fungus and bacteria so they can communicate with each other. And fungus communicates quite well with plants on its own, but there's really not a good bacteria to plant communication network. It has to be done through the fungus. And the carbon allows that to exist because if you mix in biochar real good with your soil and you take an ohm meter, electrical test multimeter, so pure biochar, it conducts. And now your soil conducts once you mix biochar in it, you actually have a conductivity in the soil. And that's how some guys are actually gauging how much biochar they need in their soil is on the conductivity of a 3-foot section between, you know, the two leads or whatever. It is all... There's so much stuff about this.
You know, this is I'm amazed at how much is going to be learned. And when they did all this COVID crap and everything, all of a sudden people look to this.
Yeah.
They go, I want to do it myself. And they go, wow, this is how it really, I could do this.
Right.
You know? All right. We got to get to the next hour. Thanks, guys. That was awesome. You know, we're going to be doing more this week. Talk about this, too.